On this week of Cross Examine, we will be discussing the Obamas collecting of personal data for a secret race database. We will also be discussing the Knights Party's attempt to move the Nathan Bedford statue in Memphis, Tennessee to the Christian Revival Center here in Harrison, Arkansas. Stay tuned to another exciting episode of Cross Examine. Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Cross Examine. I am your host, Attorney Jason Robb, and we welcome you once again to our show. I always like to start out, I welcome all our new listeners. Every week, we continually get more and more listeners to our show. And I always want to remind people, throughout the week, go to KKK Radio. Look at the different shows and programs throughout the week. And there are so many different shows that you will want to listen to. You will want your family to listen to. I don't care if you're an older folks or if you're younger generation. There is just a wealth of shows there for everybody to listen to. One of the things I would like to start out with is that I have a new baby. That is correct. My wife, Amanda, had a new baby. This is our fifth child, and it's a little girl named Abigail Rose Robb. And she is about 1 week old, and I have her in my arms here at the KKK Radio Studios. And so if you hear a little whimpering a little bit here and there, that is just Abigail. And so I have her in my arms. I'm holding her. And as I was sitting here, I'm getting ready to do my show, I was thinking, what type of world is little Abigail going to be witnessing when she gets older? Some of you may be aware, some of you may not be aware, that white children, such as Abigail, is no longer a majority in the United States. Abigail and white kids 15 years of age and younger are already a minority in the United States. Statistically, white children in the public school systems starting last year is a minority statistically in the United States. There are more non-whites being born in the United States than white children. And so when we talk about white genocide, when we talk about the intentional displacement of our people and of our children, we are not just talking about some pipe future consequence. It's something that we are seeing in front of our eyes right now. Statistically, the only reason white people are a majority in the United States is because of our older generation, the World War II generation, as it may be. But we all know that there are hundreds and hundreds and thousands of the baby boomer generation, those children born after World War II, that is holding the statistic figures for our side. But once those people start dying out, once those older generations starts dying out, children like Abigail and all our white children out there will no longer be the majority. They will no longer be raised in an America that we once knew. The Leave It to Beaver shows, the Father Knows Best, all those good, wholesome shows that we loved will no longer be the same as when they grow older. They will be in a country that hates their culture. They will be raised in a country that hates their people, that hates them, that hates their heritage. And we only have to see around us, look and open our eyes around, and we can see this hatred for our people, this hatred for our children, hatred for our culture. That is why there is such an attack on our people now. We always hear about diversity, that we need to be diversified. You only hear that in white communities. You only hear white communities where the opposition says we need diversity. You don't see diversity in your majority black areas. You don't see diversity in your Asian areas, Mexican areas. Only in the white areas do they talk about diversity. And so, children like Abigail here, who I'm holding, it is a dim future for her. But there is hope. There is hope that we know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will protect our people. Will have a they have He has a special promise, a special future for our children. And we know that that future is not totally dim, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Several years ago in Newsweek, just to name a few, Newsweek and Time Magazine had an article talking about the white anxiety crisis. And what the white anxiety crisis is, statistically, we are seeing a natural formation of white people moving into the heartland of America. And this heartland of America is what's called the flyover states, those states that are in the center of the United States. Not your western states, not your southwest states, not your eastern states, but your heartland of America states. And statistically and demographically, we are seeing white people naturally moving into these areas. And the reason they are moving to these areas, because they are naturally wanting to be around their own people. They are wanting to maintain their own culture. They are wanting to maintain their own heritage. And as a result of that, they will naturally, over time, start looking at themselves as a group, as a race. And they will start thinking of themselves as a race and as a group. And they will start electing public officials. It could be the sheriff's department, the local sheriffs, it could be mayors, it could be state representatives and state senators, it could be your U.S. representatives and U.S. senators going to Washington, D.C. But you will start seeing over time white people starting to think as white people. And that is something that has been needed from the very beginning of the founding of the United States. As people thinking of themselves as a race. And the reason is so important, as white people, for the most part, do not think of themselves as a group. They look at themselves as an America, an American, and that's it. Where every other race looks at themselves as race first. And white people do not do that. But naturally, they are being forced to start thinking of themselves as a race. And so this white anxiety crisis that we will start seeing, and we're starting to see it now, white people will start thinking of themselves first as a race. That is why it's so important that we see the concept of state rights. That's why we see all of these issues dealing with the states that have really been popping up over the last several years, because we as white individuals know that Washington, D.C., the national politicians, the politics, the parties such as the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, they have abandoned the white people. They have basically kicked them on the side, and they no longer represent white people. They don't care about white people. And as a result of that, we see issues like the state issues, the state right issues, in which people are starting to think locally. They are starting to think locally on every aspect. It could be education, it could be politics, it could be dealing with health issues, it could be dealing with your moral issues such as sodomy and miscegenation. It could be property rights. Everything is going towards your state rights, your local issues, and people are forcing, or forced, I should say, to deal with that issue. And so children like Abigail, even though it may be a dim future nationally, locally, it is going to be a bright future, because we know that our people will eventually stick together, will eventually look at themselves as a race and as a culture, and will band together to make a new nation and form a new nation. And it's not something that is happening because of inorganic, but it is happening organically. People are organically coming together in order to deal with the issues of survival. Our people simply want to exist. That is all it comes down to. We do not want to be genocide. We do not want to be destroyed. We do not want our culture to be destroyed and our heritage to be destroyed. And as a result of that, we as a people are naturally coming together and recognizing those issues. And that is why it's vitally important. And I hope to someday to be able to hold Abigail's children and be able to smile upon them, and hope that they will be able to have a future that they can be proud of. But it is going to take work for all of us adults. We have to realize that our children are going to suffer unless we are doing our part. We all have to get out there to spread this message of white Christian revival. We all have to get out there, distribute literature, do our tithing, donate to the Knights Party or any white resistance organization that you feel led to do. You need to get involved in your local politics, local areas of politics, from a dog catcher to electing your local sheriff's officer to electing your state representative or state senator. Whatever you can do, you need to get involved, because if you don't, your children will suffer. And so often we hear about people saying, "Well, I won't have to worry about it," and it's as almost they're like happy that they're not gonna have to deal with it. But then they fail to realize that their children like little Abigail here, is going to suffer because they did not give a darn about their future. And if you truly love your children, you truly love your grandchildren, then you are going to do everything you can to help them. And that means getting involved. Get involved in your local politics. Get involved in the resistance. There are pockets of resistance happening all over and occurring all over the United States. And you need to get involved in these pockets of resistance. And when I talk about pockets of resistance, I'm not talking about anything violent. I'm talking about the lawful method of politics, of getting people involved in your local issues, issues dealing with race, because everything comes back to race. Our culture, our heritage, our morals, our economics, everything stems from race. Simply, and that's the truth. We see what's happening around us because the United States is becoming a non-white country. We see the rise of sodomy. Now sodomite marriage is legal. We see miscegenation. Miscegenation is legal. We see our economic system basically being thrown in the gutter. We see the massive demographics changing because of all the illegal non-whites coming across our southern borders, and all the non-whites coming on the boats and airplanes in the United States. Demographically, our country is turning into a third world country. And what are we seeing as a result of that third world country? We're seeing all this mess. Now, if you looked in the 40s and 50s and even the 60s, When the United States thought of themselves as a European traditional white country, when our politics reflected that, when our economics reflected that, when we had a Christian society, everything revolved around a white culture, and we prospered as a result of that. Anyone who says differently is just either lying to you or they're ignorant. And so often they are just ignorant of history. And so we just need to all be able to stick together and get involved. But I wanted to kind of start out this show talking about my little daughter, Abigail. I have two girls, Abigail and Kenley, who's only three. And I have three boys, Caleb, who's nine, and Tayton, who's six, and Josiah, who's a year and a half, five children. And statistically, they are living in a non-white country. They are the minorities in the United States. And so we need to start thinking of what future our children are going to be living in. I'm going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk to you quick, a few moments about some issues, and then the Knights Party's attempt to bring the Nathan Bedford Force from Memphis, Tennessee, to the Christian Revival Center in Harrison, Arkansas.
Look around the world. Do you notice anything? White people are a global minority. Soon, white people will be the minority in historically white nations. Is it a coincidence, or is there white genocide in our future? What about your children or your grandchildren? Is this the end? Is this our fate? Think about it. This message brought to you by Christian Revival Classics and the Christian Revival Center.
Grandpa, can Grandma read us a story?
You want a story?
Yeah.
Hey kids, listen to Story Time from Grandma each and every day, only on KKK Radio.
Some parents will say, we will not influence our children in making choices and decisions in matters of race and religion. Why not? The ads will, the press will, the radio will, the TV will, the movies will, the neighbors will, the business will, their politicians will. We can use our influence over flowers, vegetables, pets, and cattle. Should we ignore our children? This message brought to you by Stories with Grandma. Listen with your children every weekday.
Georgetown law professor Louis Michael Seidman says that the U.S. Constitution is archaic and downright evil. And people like this are teaching in America's law schools? It's frightening. Well, here's your chance to listen to one attorney who stands on principle and fights for the dreams of freedom-loving Americans. Listen to Jason Robb, host of Cross Examine, each week right here on KKK Radio.
Well, welcome back, my friends, to another episode of Cross Examine. I hope you enjoyed the break. I am your host, Attorney Jason Robb, and we just again welcome you to the rest of the show of Cross Examine. We have been talking about my daughter, Abigail, and the world she is going to be living at in the future. Now, of course, I have Abigail on my lap. I'm holding her. She's only a week old. And we've been talking about the future that lies for little Abigail and all our white children out there. What future are they going to live in? What future are they going to have to deal with because that we as adults have failed to try to take a stand for them? And that's what we had discussed most of this first part of this show. But I'd like to end the show on another subject, that is dealing with the Nathan Bedford Force statute in Memphis, Tennessee. Now, in Memphis, Tennessee, Nathan Bedford Force, he was a lieutenant general in the War for Southern Independence for the South. He was also the first Grand Wizard, as they called it, of the Ku Klux Klan. And Memphis has a beautiful statute in Memphis displaying a statute of Nathan Bedford Forrest on a horse in the park in Memphis. It's known as Bedford Forest Park. And so Google a picture of that, and you will see a beautiful, beautiful picture of the statue in Nathan Bedford Forest. But as a result of this great mass hysteria of removing anything that is Confederate flags, Confederate statues, Confederate monuments that we see this year, we see this really this attack on our culture and an attack on our heritage. And we are seeing cities throughout the South that is trying to topple down monuments that were for the Confederates, for the generals. Again, part of our culture, part of our heritage. And Memphis is no doubt not like any other city. It's mainly a non-white city, a very black city. It used to be really the jewel of the Delta, the Memphis area, where the majority of the white people lived at, up until, again, in the 60s and 70s, when demographically it started to change. And now the Negro population actually runs the city council, runs really the government down there in Memphis for the most part. And now they are trying to, the city council is now wanting to remove the 9,500-pound equestrian statue of Nathan Bedford Forrest. And so the question is, what are they going to do with the statue? They're wanting to remove the statue. They are wanting to dig up the bodies of Nathan Bedford Forrest and his wife and relocate them to another park. The park is called the Memphis Health Science Park. And, of course, that was previously known as the Bedford Forest Park. And so they're wanting to do that. So the city council is going to vote on it, and most likely it will occur. Well, the Knights Party, under the leadership of Pastor Thomas Robb, sent a letter, a press release, and this was on August 12th, just a few days ago. And I'm going to read what the proposal is. And I got the website of KKK.com, and I am going to read what it basically says. It says, National Director of the Knights Party, Pastor Thomas Robb, announced Wednesday that he would be requesting the transfer of the Nathan Bedford Forrest Monument at Health Sciences Park to his care to be placed at the Christian Revival Center at Harrison, Arkansas. Pastor Robb also noted that while the remains of Forrest and his wife will be moved to the original burial ground, there is fear that the grave will remain unsecure and under constant threat of desecration. Therefore, Pastor Robb is requesting that the remains be placed at the Christian Revival Center Church, where they will be undisturbed. Requests will be made to Forrest family spokesperson Lee Miller by the Robb Law Firm of Harrison, Arkansas. Nathan Bedford Forrest, while condemned by many of his involvement with the Ku Klux Klan, was a noble Christian man who sought healing for the southern states. He was involved with the Klan not because it was a violent organization, but rather it brought security and order during a chaotic time for both black and white. He was loved by all. Forrest disbanded the original Klan when unscrupulous men, not associated, but under the guise of the Klan's name, committed violent acts. Likewise, the Knights Party continues the spirit of the original Klan to uphold the moral and civic ideas of those early Klansmen. And that was sent out last week. And myself, Jason Robb, who's the attorney for the Knights Party, having my own law practice called the Robb Law Firm, we sent a request to the city council, and it was picked up by newspapers nationwide of our attempt to have the Forrest statue and the remains to be removed to the Christian Revival Center. And I'm going to read just one quick article regarding that. And this was carried out nationwide. But it shows what the Knights are doing. It shows that the Knights are interested in preserving our culture and our monuments nationwide. But it says the city of Memphis is deciding what to do with a century-old 95-pound equestrian statue of Nathan Bedford Forrest. There are several interested parties, including the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan in Arkansas. Myron Lowry, a Memphis alderman, said all offers will be considered, including the one from the Knights. But we're not at that point yet, he said. Lowry drafted an ordinance to condemn the statue and remove it from the Memphis Health Science Park, previously known as Bedford Forest Park. The ordinance will be on its third and final reading when the council meets Tuesday. Forrest was a lieutenant general for the Confederate Army and leader of the Ku Klux Klan. He died in 1877. In 2013, the Memphis City Council changed the names of three parks that honor the Confederacy or men associated with it, including the Bedford Forest Park. Jason Robb, a Harrison lawyer, faxed a letter to the Memphis City Council on Wednesday saying the Knights Party was interested in the statue. Robb wrote that he was representing his father, Thomas Robb, pastor of the Christian Revival Center in Lead Hill, which is in Boone County. Thomas Robb is also the national director of the Knights. My client is offering to pay the related expenses for the moving of the Nathan Bedford Forrest Monument and for it to be placed at his church grounds, Jason Robb wrote. Lowry said he thought the city already had received offers from other groups willing to pay for the statue, so the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan would have to raise its offer. Now, just a side note, we checked on that and there was no offers to actually purchase the monument. The article then just continues on, it ends with, it says in his letter, Jason Robb asked the remains of Forrest and his wife to be moved to the Christian Revival Center in Lead Hill to circumvent the probably desecration of their graves should they be interred in any other location. But Lowry said the remains won't be shipped to Arkansas. They'll go back to Elmwood Cemetery. And in Tennessee, a chancery court is required to, there needs to be a court order, I should say, from the chancery court before any human remains can be exhumed. And the base of the statue was vandalized recently with graffiti that read, Black Lives Matter. So we already see that these monuments that we hold, cherish, and we love, is being toppled. They're being destroyed. Because United States, again, is becoming a non-white country. And we at the Knights Party are wanting to preserve our culture. We are wanting to preserve our monuments. And so, under the direction of Pastor Thomas Robb, I sent a letter to the City Council. And we're, again, asking for that Nathan Bedford Forrest statue to be relocated to Harrison, Arkansas. The Knights Party will pay all moving expenses, and this will be a beautiful site on the Christian Revival Center grounds. It will not be disturbed. It will be cherished and honored. This is the location of the headquarters for the Knights Party, secure location in a rural area, and it's something that we all can take pride in. Because if it doesn't happen, then that monument will ultimately be destroyed and it will be like in the dust in the wind. People will forget about that statute. Nathan Bedford Forrest was a gentleman. He was a Christian man who helped really preserve our culture in the South. And we had the radical Republicans that basically decimated the South. And Nathan Bedford Forrest, along with other men and women, helped to protect the South and preserve it. And now we at the Knights Party are wanting to preserve America. We are wanting to preserve our culture and preserve our heritage against the massive amount of non-whites coming to the United States in an attempt to change our country. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. And again, Abigail and I wish everyone a safe week. And remember, you have the right to exist.